It's time for the Border News Roundup on Friday mornings. We get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. We join him in the Timber Jay. I'm imagining your newsroom there, Marshall. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
All right, so let's start talking about some of the stories you've been covering recently. A couple new developments in terms of copper nickel mining. Tell us what's been going on.
Yeah, a lot of activity in the U.S. House this week, including passage by a wide margin of a bill that was supported and backed by Representative Rick Nolan. And this bill would essentially enact that land exchange that between the Forest Service and Polymet Mining that cleared the way for their proposed copper nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes. It would essentially enact that into law. Exchange had already been approved by the Forest Service, but that's an administrative act, and it's subject to judicial review. And of course, there's about three or four lawsuits, I think, already on that proposed land exchange. And you know, if any of those cases had been successful in court, obviously it would have posed a significant risk to development of that project. So Congressman Nolan had drafted this legislation to enact it into law, and obviously it had a lot of support. I think it passed 309-99 in the House. So that was a strong vote of support for that. A second piece of legislation was a bill that was drafted by Congressman Emmer from southwestern Minnesota, and that bill would have, or does, if it's finally enacted, would end funding and essentially end a study of a proposed withdrawal of about 234,000 acres of the Superior National Forest from the mineral leasing program. And this would impact the Twin Metals project, which is another one of those mining projects, copper nickel mining projects that we've been talking about. And this bill passed much more narrowly on Thursday, and it remains to be seen what will happen with either of these pieces of legislation in the Senate. We've reached out to both Senator Klobuchar and Franken's office to find out, you know, if they're planning to back companion legislation in the Senate. We haven't heard anything back yet, but I'm sure we'll probably have an update on that issue in next week's paper.
Marshall, can you kind of help us understand about what does this mean in terms of a timeline for actual copper nickel mining, or is this just one step in this?
Well, it's just one step. I think, you know, there are legal challenges to the land exchange for Polymet. You know, I don't know that any of those would have ultimately been successful. It's not clear that they would have actually been able to delay the process. In most cases like that, the plaintiffs probably would have had to issue a bond. You know, if Polymet was all ready to go, they couldn't stand in the way of the fact that they had this litigation ongoing. The bigger issue with Polymet right now is they're waiting on getting their permits all approved. The DNR does expect to have, or hope anyway, to have a draft permit to mine issued by the end of December. That could be coming up fairly soon. There are some other permits, mostly state permits, which I don't think will pose a problem for Polymet. There is still a federal permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, which the company needs to receive, and that's been in the works for years, and I really don't know what the status of that is. You just never know with the Fed sometimes. Things can take a long time. And then, of course, the bigger issue with Polymet will be whether or not some investors are going to be willing to put up the $600 million or more that it would take to get that project up and running. I mean, I've been kind of warning people for years that, you know, the economics of a lot of these mining projects can always be tenuous, and this is certainly an example of that. I know there are other mines, copper nickel mines in the U.S. that are fully permitted ahead and have been for two or three years and have yet to open because they can't find investment capital to make them happen. So, that is going to be a challenge. Polymet has not announced, a financial backer at this point. We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, I guess in terms of a timeline, I would be surprised if Polymet was operating anytime before 2019. I think that would probably be the earliest at this point. And then as far as Twin Metals, that project near Ely, that's still in a very formative stage at this point, highly speculative. The economics on that are nowhere near as good as with Polymet, and the upfront cost on that is far higher. And they're looking at almost $3 billion to develop that project, at least as was initially proposed. And I think the economics on that are going to be a real uphill fight.
It's Marshall Hellenberger. It's the Border News Roundup. Let's move on to another story you've been covering on Tower. There's some big news that happened, a critical issue in Tower, Minnesota. What's going on?
Well, yeah, you know, we've been talking for the past few years about some of the development projects that have been in the works in Tower, and it's been kind of a slow path forward, but, you know, we've been making progress, and it's really looking like 2018 could be a year when we're going to see some significant new development in town. But another issue has cropped up, which could be yet another hurdle, and that is capacity for wastewater treatment. And this has been an issue that's sort of just slowly simmered, you know, on kind of the back burner for a while. But the city brought it to the fore here recently when they made the decision to hook up the city-owned campground on Lake Vermilion to the municipal system. And, you know, it's a decent-sized campground, and it ends up, it'll probably be consuming about 10,000 gallons a day of the sewage treatment capacity. And right now, they only have about 15,000 gallons per day of remaining capacity without going over a level that the MPCA gets nervous about. Basically, the MPCA doesn't like treatment systems to operate at full capacity because it's, you know, any little increase in flow, and now you've got, you know, you're discharging untreated water and things like that. So they generally try to keep these systems at about 85% of their rated capacity at maximum. And the city, as a result of this decision to hook up the campground, will be very close to 85%, which means that hooking up, you know, new townhomes or a new hotel or some affordable housing that's all been, you know, in the works at this point may be problematic. And, you know, we're concerned now that there may be a slowdown or delay in trying to get some of these projects moving forward. And so now this is kind of an issue that needs to be addressed very quickly. And basically, options are, you know, kind of limited to either figure out a way to reduce your flow of wastewater. And there's ways to do that. And the city has made some progress in that area in the past. But the other option is to add capacity. And they do have room for a fourth stabilization pond that would, you know, give them additional capacity. But of course, it takes time to get the go through the funding process for that, and it's not cheap, and it's probably 2 or 3 years away before you could get that additional capacity in place. So, you know, that we're hoping it doesn't become a real impediment at this point to some of these projects.
Marshall, our final story with you this morning. I think we can tell it by first hearing about how your drive to work was today.
Well, and I should preface it by saying that we have brand new snow tires on our car, so it wasn't because our tires are bald. We were just heading down the driveway, and our driveway is quite level. But we got to the end of the driveway, and, you know, I applied the brakes as usual. We're on a gravel road, so there's not a lot of traffic usually, but, you know, I always stop. And it was a good thing that there wasn't traffic coming, because when I applied the brakes, it's like they weren't even there. We just slid on the ice right out into the road. The ice situation here is terrible. I have never seen icier roads, parking lots, you know, whatever, than we have right now. It is terrible. I know three people already in just the last 10 days who have slipped and broken wrists, elbows, you know, you name it, arms. And and actually, it's so bad that the U.S. Forest Service closed a 5-mile section of the Tomahawk Trail, which is a pretty well-used road. It's a gravel forest road, but it's a wide road. It's well used. It's a connecting point between like Babbitt and Highway 1, and it's about a 17-mile stretch. And they've closed a 5-mile stretch of it because they said it's so icy you just don't even want to drive on it. And that is, we're seeing that all over the place. place. I mean, there are gravel roads here. You could strap on a pair of skates and skate from one end to the other without any difficulty at all. I've never seen it this bad. And the problem is, of course, we could be dealing with this these conditions for a long time until we maybe get some snow on top that, you know, hopefully sticks a little bit. It's really a mess.
Yeah, it's only the beginning of December. Who knows what the winter will be like. Well, that's Marshall Helmberger. You can read and see more at their website. It's timberj.com. Marshall, thanks so much. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.